Welcome, welcome. It is the crossover podcast between The Chase Down and Light Years. I'm Justin Rowan, joined by Carter Rodriguez. Carter, you've called me out in the past for not asking you how you're doing when we have guests on. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. The basketball world could not care less about Cavs Warriors right now.
Nope.
Because the Sixers are melting down before our very eyes.
Oh, man. The Warriors didn't ruin the NBA because we still have the Sixers and we still have an unreal amount of bullshit. To help break everything down, we also have Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Do you think that people listen when they hear our names? Do you think that?
Oh, God, no. You know what? We have access to our numbers now, and I am really, really interested to see just how badly, like, the numbers tank by having you guys on.
The question is, can Andy and I make up for, like, the amount of listeners you're going to lose? Can our Steph Curry Tea Party members make up that loss?
Well, our California numbers are actually pretty strong, so maybe you guys don't even have poll. Maybe they're already here. Maybe they've been lingering with us.
They like you. Well, those because Warriors fans like you guys. But for us, I feel like we're just me and Sam are just
no one likes you.
No one. We don't even like it. You guys.
You know, like, y'all got no choice. It's just like, well, shoot, we gotta get Andy and Sam on. But year four of this crap.
That's one thing we're going to get into. I don't think that what the people want is a traditional preview podcast because we've been here a bunch of times. I was
just breaking down film on how J.R. Smith guards flare screens. So yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, we'll give you the podium later on, but I want to dive into one, the Sixers, because I think that's the top thing we got to do. Then from there, I think we need to dive into just how upset everybody is that this is the matchup for a fourth year in a row, and just kind of let some of the other teams have it, the ones that weren't worthy of beating either the Cavs or the Warriors, but everybody wanted to beat the Cavs and the Warriors. But starting off with the Brian Colangelo thing.
The fact that the league was so embarrassed by Sam Hinkie that they forced him out and then suggested to the Sixers, hey, we got a real steady guy for you.
Yep. Ugh. We actually got five of them.
Got five of them. Does anybody have some tweets that they can read out? What's funny is I just woke up, so Justin stole all my jokes. So now I'm very stressed out.
So we gotta talk about the elephant in the room, which is the Ringer leaks this less than a day after the Celtics get eliminated.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to see what hit pieces they have on the Raptors and the Knicks coming out the next week, you know, just taking care of the whole division.
This is literally it's a battle of the burners. Ainge is using his burner website to go after the Sixers.
Ben Dietrich really went full InfoWars on this. Remember when Glenn Beck used to do those weird chalkboard segments? This was. Like, this is so outrageous, and I don't even know where the implications start. Like, I guess he just gets fired, and is that the end of it?
I don't think so. Because he was leaking out like HIPAA information about Jahlil Okafor. Like, if I'm Okafor's,
wow. What?
He's going.
Yeah, so I was gonna say there's been other cases. Like, I remember the old Warriors GM got caught for posting on Golden State of Mind, but he was just posting stuff like defending the moves of the team, like Monte's a rising star. Barron would have just dim his light. It's better they turn it over to Monte. They'll be better in the long run. Like, stuff like that, or it's like, you know, it's really lame.
Which was also facts.
Yes, but like,
wait,
It wasn't like he's out here like saying like Jahlil Okafor has an eating problem. That's why they had to trade him. You know, like just very damning inside information.
Here's one of my favorites. Okay, so one of his accounts was called Honest Abe, which is great to begin with. But here's him comparing Embiid to Porzingis. I am a Philly fan, but out trade the process. See, here's the thing. His grammar was awful in a lot of these tweets. So I'm going to read it word for word.
He was either trying to throw people off or he's just...
I think he was trying to throw people off. I'm a Philly fan, but out trade the process for the unicorn in a heartbeat, the account wrote. Such a smarter player. And in response to a Sixers Nation post about Embiid committing a foul, unknown sources, another one of his, replied, I am sure it's hard for him to process the fact that this is now Ben's team. So he is acting up. This Eagle foul is costing us big.
Holy shit.
And he said that Embiid was acting like a tool, which Joel Embiid is like now just going after these burners and Colangelo right now.
This is one of the most outrageous things that's ever happened. And I'm not sure I can even think of like another example.
Man, Sheridan Hoops, right? Sheridan Hoops really lost his narrative that the Sixers are the stable organization that LeBron's been looking for.
Like, imagine if the KD burner stuff had come out while he was still on the team, and I still am not sure it's that crazy.
No, this is pretty bad.
Because this, like, KD, like, whatever, like, you're flexible. Like, Colangelo's never going to get another job.
No. And he got this one because of his
dad. His dad, right?
Yeah. It's not like he's basically good. The Austin Rivers.
A fraud.
It's like if Austin Rivers had a bunch of burners going after teammates.
Oh, God. The Austin Rivers burner saying Chris Paul's an overrated point guard. The offense would flow better if Austin was running it. Yeah.
Now you see how Blake is failing in Detroit. Clippers much better off with Austin.
Much better off. Wow. So he leaked Jahlil Okafor. So he broke HIPAA violations, and he was trashing on Embiid a little bit.
Yeah, he tweeted.
Wow.
He tweeted at Woj saying that the Sixers traded Okafor, but the trade got nullified because he failed a physical, and that the team kept it quiet, but now Okafor is making a mockery of the team when they did him this favor.
Dude, just text Woj. You know Woj do this.
Woj follows that account too, so it's funny because I think Woj probably knows about this.
There's probably an article based off that.
Do you think after
Woj
he said
upset
that
he just lost one of his sources?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Woj just immediately was like, Brian, you can just text me, like, I know it's you. You know I know it's you.
You know I know it's you.
I followed you. That wasn't an accident, Brian.
Wait, what? But Woj really follows him? I think Woj follows.
I
like
swear to God,
people.
I saw it. He follows. Wow.
Oh. I think Woj does. I think Woj should be put on the stand here. Like, what did you know, Adrian? Were you holding out on us?
That's actually a really good point, especially if he's following these accounts.
Yeah, if he's just been sitting on this scoop, what are we doing here?
Man, and like, isn't it Ben Simmons? I need to double check this, but isn't it Simmons that's dating one of the Kardashians or Jenner or whatever?
Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, so that was like another thing that he was tweeting that he was concerned about, that he's not focused enough. And then, of
aren't
course,
we
he
all,
went,
Brian.
And then. Then he went after Markelle Fultz. Like, he went after too many.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, what were the Fultz tweets? Because that's been a weird thing all year, and they've been throwing him under the bus all the time anyway.
Well, he said that there was, like, some family trauma that Fultz is, like, trying to process, which he thought was a funny joke. and he also blamed, like,
nailed him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So roasted.
He said he was traumatized by something.
Your mom's dead.
And then also blamed like his mentor or whatever, or his trainer, for messing up his shot and trying to change it around.
By the way, Woj has unfollowed the account.
Yes.
He has. Yep. I just looked at it. He has 721 followers. Now he has 720. This is, by the way, this is why you guys listen to the podcast, this investigating journalism from us.
Yeah, which is all going to be dated and, like, broken down in depth on Twitter.
Yep, and he has unfollowed, and now Woj is tweeting about Embiid talking ESPN.
Oh, Woj is going to get so spicy about this now. You just know
he's going to fire me somehow. Yeah.
Well, anyways, I think we should move on from that because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more developments that are going to be very dated by the time that people are listening to this podcast. So I guess some congratulations are in order for you guys. The We Believe 2 movement was successful. The Warriors came back against the Rockets and beat them in Game 7. I guess, what are some of your thoughts on the matter for those that haven't listened to life?
Math is a fraud. Math is fake. It's not real.
like James Harden in elimination games?
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I think the Warriors officially morphed into being the Cavs this last couple series.
I respected that about them.
There was no reason that should have gone 7. I don't care how good the Rockets are. It was just they literally didn't even bother showing up till the second half of Game 7. It was infuriating to watch, but also kind of very on brand. So,
do you guys enjoy watching the Cavs sometimes? Because this whole season, the Warriors, I have yet to enjoy.
Oh, Andy, you're such a dick. You are such a dick that you have this team and you're like, you know what? Just hasn't been my flavor. No, I don't like it. Like, we have legitimate drama. You have, we're not trying as hard as we could. God, you're privileged.
Just like the Splash Brothers. No, but I mean, like, that's kind of the
that
Warriors
landed with
this
me,
season.
At least.
It worked, right? That one worked.
That worked.
That's who they are, though. I mean, I think me and Sam have been whining kind of the whole series after the first three games that these guys just don't care. And then they really – how do you not care in an elimination game? I don't understand how in a Game 6 and a Game 7, for the first half, you don't show up. I really don't understand. If you guys can tell me how that's possible, please.
Because they don't have to show up, Andy. Oh, that's why.
They needed to play for 5 minutes. They needed basically 5 minutes.
You know what's funny is they actually just learned their lesson. That's what is funny about you being so frustrated is they were total tryhards the year they won 73. And then it didn't matter. So now they feel burned. So they won't do that anymore.
And what I really like about it, too, is you do start to get some of that internal fighting and stuff and dirty looks, because it's Draymond will sacrifice shots for the offense, Steph sacrifice shots for the offense, Clay sacrifice shots, and then it's Durant who's just kind of launching in isolation, and they're all just kind of giving him those glares. I do at least appreciate that. I like that there's some drama there.
Yeah, I thought Draymond was going to kill KD in the middle at the end of the first half. KD was just not interested in playing any defense, and Draymond just started ripping into it. I was waiting for the Lisa Salter halftime report, part two of an interview fight watching those guys. I don't know. It's you guys have lived this longer than us. This is still a new phenomenon for me and Andy. We're not fully dead inside. We remember when teams tried in the regular season.
Yeah, well, I mean,
calling Western Conference Finals Game 7 the regular season.
Sam, as a Celtics fan, trying in the regular season more than anyone. So are you buying into the moral victory of the Boston Celtics here? We took them to the brink even though we had two chances at elimination and just absolutely blew it.
I mean, they had the most playing with house money situation ever. They're never going to get that again. Let them have it. Next year, it's going to be all expectations. Kyrie and Hayward back. If they don't win, it's gonna turn very quick. Maybe not next year, but within a season.
But they also got to play both sides of that with no consequences, at least in their own mind. Like, they're sitting there. So you go in, you're up 3-2 after game five. Kevin Love gets taken out after 5 minutes. And of the remaining players, you probably have arguably four of the best five players in the series. And you just completely blow that. Like, and nobody's supposed to be held accountable. And I the best part for me of them losing is that you get so many Boston fans, at least on my timeline, that are like, man, this is definitely in my top two favorite Celtics teams of all time. So much heart and no stars. It's just Stevens dragging them along. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
But I mean, so when was the last time the Cavs were a playoff team and literally were playing with house money? Like,
never.
Maybe 2007, maybe the first time LeBron, like when he went nuts on the Pistons and no one thought they were going to win that series. And he just single-handedly went nuts there and they went to the finals. And then basically from that point on, it was irrational expectations anytime LeBron was on the Cavs. Right.
Right.
So I just think it's that they haven't had any sort of, like, it's going to turn very quick. Let them have their moment here. Next year, it's going to be very, very dramatic.
Yo, I think LeBron is the guy that's playing with house money here now, though. Like, he got it
now.
Made.
He is.
Yeah. Now they are. Like, I think it's safe to say that this is like a successful season in the Cavs' eyes, because you lose Kyrie Irving. It was always going to take a little while to bounce back from that. You, despite what some people thought at the time, they weren't a better team after the trade. With all the issues they've had, I think getting to the finals, that's kind of a win for this season.
I have a theory that LeBron is so light years that he understands that unless he puts together like Kawhi and George and Kyrie, that he's not going to beat the Warriors. So he just stripped the team down to its worst possible form, but still knew that he could make the Eastern Conference Finals. So somehow he has essentially won the finals without actually being able to win one. Because what all I hear is about how great he is compared to MJ, and he's the GOAT now. It's just genius. That's just the greatest PR move I've ever seen.
Andy, you tweeted that if LeBron gets this team to the finals, he's the GOAT. And I like my I like my theory a little better, that you guys, in your own eyes, think that the Warriors threw 2016 to get Durant. LeBron's throwing this year so that Durant feels comfortable leaving, because he can't win one championship, lose this year, and then leave. And we all know Durant wants out. So with them losing this year, Durant gets to walk away, and then LeBron gets Paul George next year and wins the next three championships.
I just want to talk about how everyone's so salty about this series. And it's like, first off, they're actually still only salty about the Warriors. That's what I realized. Outside of Matt Moore, they're only salty about the Warriors. Like, people were amazed by LeBron.
Yeah, that's like a fair point.
Like, they're literally just – what they're saying is they wanted someone to beat the Warriors, and they're mad because they know the Cavs can't. But it has very little to do with actual fatigue. And even if it did, it's like, if you are looking for someone to beat the Warriors, you really want to – would the Celtics be so novel and so fun? They couldn't beat this Cavs team, Boston, that you hate.
Boston put up a 102.1 offensive rating against the Cavs, who have the worst defense to ever make it out of the first round. What are they going to do against the Warriors? Like, sure, I think
that's better than they put. That's better than the Rockets put up against the Warriors, by the way, with Chris Paul. Just to put it in there, math is fake. Does not work.
Amazing. Is it seriously?
Yes.
Warriors have the best offensive rating and or defensive rating in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but just think about it. All the games, game four and five, which the Rockets won, they won on defense. And they deserve to win them. The Warriors completely shit both those games away. But it was, what was it, like 94-96?
Oh, to be
like
clear,
it wasn't like they were generating good offense.
The Rockets should have won games six and seven. Like, when you're looking at where they got to, the point they got to, from there they should have been able to bring it home. but they just played like idiots. I know people talk about the 27 straight missed threes, but go back. Like, there's compilation videos of, like, every one of those threes. Count how many you think are a good decision. I counted, like, 8.
Oh, it's just pure chucking. It was just like, let's chuck, and it has to go in at some point. And that's, you know.
Math is a lie. I guess.
Exactly. It's fake. Exactly. It's totally fake.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't think it's funny. Like, just the knots people turn themselves into to justify not wanting to watch the Warriors. I don't know anyone who likes watching Houston.
The Rockets turning into America's team with James Harden and Chris Paul leading them that's the moment I realized we're officially the Lakers. It's not even like there's no scenario where the Warriors will be liked by anyone outside of the fan base, and you just gotta kind of have to own it.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, hell, you got people rooting for LeBron and the dysfunctional ass Cavs who do not deserve anyone's affections, but that's what it happens every year, and it's amazing that like it's so nice, like all of a sudden. That like everyone's like, oh, like everyone's all of a sudden very much on board with the Cavs, and I'm very much ready for them to be so mad at them for not being good enough to win this series. That's well, what's going to happen.
Never hated though, right? They weren't hated that much, were they? I don't know as well as you guys.
But no one wants to see them win in the East again.
No,
again.
That makes sense.
And like it's the old rhythm that we've talked about a billion times. Is like we gas up who they're going to play. The Cavs beat them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we shit on the team they just beat.
As though they
suck because we're mad at them. This entire reaction to this finals rematch for me has just been watching people misdiagnosing their own emotions. They think it's just fatigue. They think they don't want to watch these teams play anymore. No, they want to see the Warriors get beat. And they're mad that the Cavs weren't well run enough to build a team that could beat them. Yeah, and that same reason people were mad at Indy. Like I heard so many podcasts talk about how Indy blew it in round one.
Yeah,
and it's just like because the alternative is that the Cavs are just better and they can't handle that because they don't deserve to be.
That's a good point. It's like, dude, what do you expect Oladipo to do in a 7-game series against LeBron? Right? Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like, yeah, you can't expect – like, I'm not really mad at James Harden because it's like, what do you want him to do against the Warriors? You want him to take over a game? He's not LeBron. Like, he's not going to take
but
over
that
game.
But here's the thing. We kind of have to, like, make a decision at some point where it's like, are you a superstar? Are you going to be held to that standard? Because it's – like James Harden, this is now quite a few elimination games in a row now where I get it. He's ran out of gas. But at the same time, like the amount of energy he wasted in that series, like trying to switch and get a mismatch when it's like, okay, I get that Clay or KD is a great defender, but you should still be able to go out and score on those guys. And wasting your energy trying to get on Looney or Bell or and then Steph. Just – yeah, and then
shout out Depoy Looney.
Right, and then just trying to draw a foul there. Like, you spent 18 seconds of the shot clock trying to get in a one-on-one situation, and you're jacking up a bad shot against them. Like, use your full energy on whoever's in front of you. Attack a little quicker. Like, they should have won that series. And I think some blame actually needs to go on them. I know that... maybe things would have been different with Chris Paul and on the Warriors side, it's maybe things would have been different with Iguodala, but they absolutely had more than enough firepower and talent to win that series, and they need to be held accountable for losing, in my opinion.
Counterpoint, no, they didn't. The Warriors didn't try very hard.
Right, but that's my point.
Three out of every four quarters.
If you're going to get breaks, you have to be able to capitalize. Like, the Cavs got breaks in 2016, but they were there. They didn't quit. They didn't... They didn't lose their composure.
That's my point. The Warriors made just enough self-inflicted errors for the Cavs to take advantage of it in 16. The Warriors probably made more self-inflicted errors against Houston.
I would definitely say so.
Just in terms of, like, effort. Like, the Warriors probably mailed in game 3 in 16. Like, that was a no-show game and fine, whatever. And then like the Draymond suspension stuff, but like that's all self-inflicted. It's not like the Warriors didn't come out opening tip full intensity in game seven. You know, they didn't come out in like the middle of the third quarter trying after throwing away the first half. Like Houston should have. Houston was up 11 points at halftime. They should have taken that home. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think they were very good without Paul. And boy, can I not believe that the Luke Richard Mba army were so disappointed by his inability to hang offensively.
I was trying to figure out why you were having such a tough time with with that word, and then I realized you're making a pun.
Because Jesus Christ, this is what kills me about NBA Twitter, is we have watched Luke Richard and Bahamute not be able to score and tank his team's offense against good defenses in the playoffs every year he's ever made the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, because he's on Houston, they're like, oh, man, this guy's switchable. You're going to be able to throw him on KD. And,
if he just takes enough threes.
And if he just hits just enough, he'll never hit just enough.
It's crazy. You know what? I kind of see a Spider-Man memeing at this point on those particular points. It's just the way that you as a fan of the team that you're for look at how other people view other teams. And you're like, dude. Stop hoping for the best case scenario for the other team versus what may be like a C effort for your team. You know what I mean? Like, hey, if Serge Ibaka hits this many shots and if OG, whatever the hell, and Pascal Siakam is able to do this, okay, then they're going to be able to squeeze out a couple wins here and the home crowd will squeeze out a couple wins there and maybe they can make this a 7-game series. And then anything's possible in a 7-game series. It's like, dude. Like, that's not how basketball works. You don't get to just you see the best in one team and then hope that, you know, the Warriors and Cavs are going to play bad. And then you win a coin flip. By the way, guys, I feel like you should be way more mad that Houston didn't win. You know, that the Warriors got that lucky.
I didn't think they could either. But at the same time.
That's a title for you, in my opinion.
Well, I would have felt pretty good, especially because they were saying that Paul wouldn't have played until like game 3. But
I don't think Paul would have played much at all. Like grade 2 hamstring.
He's a liability.
He's going to try and get. He would have tried in game 4, game 3, and he would have been moving. At like you know, it would have been bad.
I mean, Houston did what I thought that they were going to do. Like, that's why, like, even as they were up in game 6 and 7, I'm like, okay, well, the Warriors are going to come back because they were going to blow their opportunity. As we said, the Warriors gave them a chance. If they made smarter decisions, they would have won those games, but they didn't. I loved – was it Steven Jackson that was criticizing D'Antoni?
Probably.
I think it was Stack Jack that he was talking about how D'Antoni will come into a game with a game plan and that's it. Like there's never going to be an adjustment. And like even the mic'd up things were just D'Antoni being like, all right, well, go out there and do it. Like I gave you a game plan. Go play. And I disagree with Carter. Like I think the Warriors are clearly the better team and that they should have won and that they didn't have to try all game. But if Houston would have just managed the game better, if they would have looked for better shots and used their energy in a more productive way, they could have won those games. But it's Houston. That's why I said that they shouldn't be free from criticism. Yes, they challenged the Warriors more than people thought, but they still ended up choking this away.
Justin, can you please, for the love of God, account for the fact that the Warriors were missing superstar Andre Iguodala?
Yeah, they were missing half of their finals MVPs. They were missing half of their finals MVPs. That's fair.
What is this? Like, I tweeted this. Who does he know in the media that he's texting right now? That people are losing their minds.
Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is on his burner. Saying Andre is the one who keeps it all together.
Yo, I made Jake some Clark. Joke Jake about Clark. It. Who runs that account? Because it's not someone named Jake Clark. I want to know whose burner that is.
An auctioneer, really, Jake? That sounds like a believable career. We don't buy it.
Andre Iguodala is the peak version of Warriors fans. It's like the peak version of Warriors fans and NBA Twitter blending together. He's like the guy, and I love Andre Iguodala. He's the smartest player on the team, in my opinion. He is the guy, though, if you're like on the internet too much, is the guy that you overvalue. You know what I mean? And then he's the guy, if you're not ever on the internet and you're a casual fan, you're just like, well, that's Iguodala. He can't score 15 points.
Yeah, he averages 6 and 3. How good can he really be, right?
And then he gets overrated on the other side. That's his life.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just think like with him, it's just like with the Warriors, just the simplest solution is the correct one. He's really good. Don't get me wrong. But like it also like has as much to do with like the losers on the bench that this Warriors team has. I was thinking about this the other day.
It has everything to do with Kerr not wanting to make an adjustment. It's like, hey, Iguodala's out. Maybe I should put my two best players in a pick and roll. Nah.
Yeah, the one guy in our lineups that can't shoot.
Yeah, gonna let Looney initiate and pretend he's Iguodala. You know, it's like it's that kind of stuff too.
This matchup really is crazy because you have the superstar small forward that has his bags packed against the Cavs, and the coach that holds his team back against Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, the Warriors are going to try to make this interesting because they're just. Well, it's weird because like they in those. It will never burn them because the talent disparity is too large. But it is like it has to be a little concerning for you guys that not only is this a team that has learned from the Cavs how to mail it in most of the time, they're also complete mental midgets when it's really, really tight.
Facts. That's facts. That's something that all super teams go through. But the fact that the Warriors smashed everyone by 40 last year, they skipped it. It's like how they skipped losing in 2015, right? So they lost in 2016. So they skipped that. So they were actually supposed to lose because of that super team problem this year. But because they're so freaking good, they can dick around and still win in 7 against Houston and get away with it. That's like the thing. They get away with everything. And so now they're in the finals again. And let's see if they can screw around and make this like a 6-game series, right? Which I have no doubt they'll find a way to do. No doubt.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Giving away at least one game, and then you're probably getting one game which LeBron just beats everyone by himself. So that's two right there.
That's two.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I think they're going to lose the games. LeBron scores like 50.
It's tough to approach this series from like an intellectual standpoint because you're sitting there and you're like, okay, well, the Warriors can do all of this stuff. So,
but they won't.
Maybe. I mean... You don't know how much of a grudge they still hold. They might kick it into another gear. Because even last year, I felt like...
Larry Nance has quite a grudge. Larry Nance just hates him.
I was referring to the grudge the Warriors players hold, you smartass.
Whatever.
Well, I don't think they hold a grudge at all, actually. I think it's the complete opposite. I think they're gonna treat Cleveland like every other regular season team.
I think it's the ultimate manifestation of the lack of joy that they now feel as a team. Like it's the manifestation of like KD like not even being that happy when they won the title, like saying he was disappointed by it, which I think is one of my favorite quotes that we haven't.
I live for that.
One of the craziest quotes of all time that just didn't get traction for some reason. He's like
one of the fakest deep quotes of all time.
Yeah, I thought it'd
be
better.
It was nothing. It didn't affect my life.
It was
life.
Just depressing. And what's so funny is like I think this is the manifestation of that is that they just don't like nothing matters to them. They're just gonna like win and it's fine. Like their highs are so limited and their lows are so limited at this point. Like they're just perpetually operating between 4.5 and 5.5 out of 10 on their mood scale. And like, so how could they possibly engender like contempt for the Cavs? Nothing matters to them anymore. They're just nihilists, just basketball nihilists.
Except for Klay Thompson.
Yeah, but Klay doesn't like.
He's too high to care.
Klay doesn't have negative energy anyway.
No, that's true. He just kind of does his Klay thing.
Yeah, he's on his own world. He's not part of this.
He's not part of this. I liked when they introduced yesterday the Western Conference Finals, Golden State Warriors and Kevin Durant. it spoke so much, and it was just like, and then you see, obviously, we're reading into it. I do still think, despite the fact that he's probably not too happy with what's going on, that series probably gets him to re-sign at least for another year or two. But yeah, I mean, that picture that they took too, the Vincent's picture of them, and he's just, everybody's laughing and smiling. He's just standing there crouched over, and his face is just like empty.
How much do you hate KD, Andy?
Listen, if Kevin Durant wins another fucking finals MVP, I'm gonna lose it.
See, that's what I'm rooting for, basically. Like, I want it to be a competitive series, maybe the Cavs steal a couple games, and Durant gets finals MVP. Like, I basically want the Cavs to, like, just sell out on Steph and allow Durant to get those buckets, because we can just ignore that fact while you guys just, every single day in all caps, actually, Durant was open because of Steph's gravity, blah, 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 blah.
It's true.
Guys, I just upgraded my equipment. My screenshots of Steph being triple teamed are going to be in the best HD. Like, you guys aren't even ready for it.
I think one of my favorite things that you guys do on your accounts is when you aren't doing a bit and I'm watching you try to compliment Kevin Durant. It's like when you ask someone what they think of their in-laws. Like, that's the same kind of compliment that you give. No, he's good. He's good. No, good. Yeah, they're nice. Yeah, they're good people.
Sam spent all season lecturing me that we should appreciate Kevin Durant, and then he did a complete U-turn after game five and start going off about how Kevin Durant needs to hands the keys back over to Steph. And I was sitting here like, yo, Steph's got to want the ball too. And we just went at each other over that. I was like, what is going on here? See, that's what we do in the times of struggle. We don't get used to it, so we just start turning on guys. And, dude, you guys should have heard Oracle Arena in game six when they were down 17 and KD was jacking up ISOs. Whew, we had some – you think we're bad. These guys, the reaction in
there. Did Silicon Valley start sounding like Boston?
Dude, the thing that's – it is so interesting. Like I think there's no greater test case for intangible stuff with the Warriors and, like, the KD factor. It's like we care – like their offense is unbeatable. With KD, it is just unstoppable. But then aesthetically, it's so much less pleasing, and like the joy that the Steph led offenses created was just so important feeling that when it's not there, you just can't help but resent it.
Right, like, well, Durant's like the steady force, and Steph just goes on like these bursts that are so painful.
Well, it's like we all watch. We all like basketball for aesthetic reasons on some level or another. Well, and there's just like, I don't know, Steph's up there with just the most fun players you've seen in your lifetime. Right. I put LeBron in there too. When LeBron's fully engaged, obviously, it's just like a physical force of another level. I'd put Westbrook up there too, just cause he's out of his mind.
That was another in-laws compliment.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? Yeah.
I'm actually impressed with the tone. Move it along. Like he stayed in the same tone as the rest
very
of the sentence.
Serious. Which I'm very
sure serious. Deliberate. For Rod.
But doesn't like Kevin Durant dominating have like a Tim Duncan, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, where you're like, oh wow, that was very fundamental. Like you're just like not very excited.
Like
the most.
Just, yeah, go ahead.
The most excited I've ever got watching Kevin Durant was when he was in that brief period of time in OKC and at the beginning of this year with the Warriors, engaged on defense and was just having like all those chase down blocks and just all sorts of, by the way, you like how I tied that in? Yeah. Just like he was making random physical plays using his length on defense. Like that was exciting because it was unexpected, as opposed to watching him hit an 18-footer, you know, 10 times in a row, which is just a very boring play.
I don't Do you think, like, to a degree, the Durant thing is just that, like, he doesn't – I have to be careful using this because I don't want to say he's, like, doesn't have good basketball IQ because obviously he does, but he just doesn't seem to feel the game at the same level as other all-time greats.
Well, what I think it is with Durant is I think he has a great sense of team basketball and he passes well in those situations. But when he does go into scoring, he just doesn't have that vision in those scenarios. Like, he doesn't make a lot of passes out of isolation. He's not reading the court because he's like a top three scorer in the history of the league in terms of just talent and being able to get a shot off.
I disagree with both you guys. I don't think it has anything to do with his
ego.
With his actual ability, exactly. Like I could.
Oh no! That I wasn't saying it was an ability thing. It's that's what his focus is in those situations.
His play is so dictated by his mood. Like I'm just telling. It is though. Like you watch him. Like if he's in a good mood, he'll be moving the ball around and scoring when he wants to. You know. In the flow. Then he'll get into these moments where it's like you could tell in his head he's like, I gotta outshine LeBron. So he like goes into this tunnel vision to try to show what he can do. And then it's just kind of like, I mean, it works half the time just because he's that good, but it's just kind of joyless to watch.
Well, no, he listens to Stephen Smith, right?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's the way to put it. You can tell which games he's playing that he watched First Take that morning. Basically,
it all comes down to there's no one who needs to log off more than Kevin Durant. A logged off Durant is a top like five all time player.
Oh yeah,
but he hates the internet so much, and he has so much stuff he could do. That's the thing. We're losers. We're supposed to be on the internet.
Yeah,
we got to get KD a wife.
Is a really good point.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's just
he would definitely dote on her. I think he'd be a very compassionate lover.
maybe that's the key with LeBron. Why he finds another gear in the playoffs is because he turns off all his social media. Maybe he's got a bunch of burners we don't know about.
We know LeBron needs to log off, but like he's just so. But like it doesn't affect him in the same way. Like he's such a loser in his own like. Dorky way,
right? Like, he's going to be posting Instagram videos, like 3 hours worth of videos of him.
Like LeBron is a dork online, and
just
Kevin
in
Durant
my bag. You're 15.
Yeah. It's mad, but LeBron's mad on corny. LeBron, it could be corny, but he's at least it's endearing. You know, if you're someone that you know is a Cavs fan or like LeBron, at least it's kind of cool. But with KD, yeah, I mean, it's just like it's not really that endearing. It's like, dude. Come on.
What do we make of Durant's comments after the game where he was asked about the Rockets catching the Warriors and he said anything could happen this summer for both sides?
LeBron,
I mean, him and Braun on the Lakers, I'm not going to lie. It's going to be kind of an exciting combo.
If they were teaming up, I'd love them to go to like the Kings. So that Boston and all their fucking talk about the Kings pick that they own just goes out the window.
I just drove by I was just in Sac 2 days ago and drove by the old Sleep Train Arena and the new one. There is nothing. If those guys, there's nothing. I don't know why they have a team. Like I make
Sac's,
fun of.
Say enough on the Sac slander. Sac's a fine city.
Okay. Memphis has a team. If Memphis shouldn't have a team, Sacramento shouldn't have a team. Let's not be biased. All right. Like those teams, they shouldn't be there.
Woj is going at the ringer right now.
I just saw it.
This is a good NBA Twitter night.
Oh, this is all time.
I think this is actually really good because I think the narrative, of like the fatigue with this finals matchup would have gotten insufferable, but now we have this for the next 3 days.
Yeah,
and that's good. That's really good,
especially Wednesday, because Wednesday's always like that slow day where they just hope that someone says something batshit crazy in the morning so it can be like the discussion of the day. This is going to hold us over for a few days.
What the fuck? What if the Ringer's wrong on this, by the way?
Oh, that'd be
it's not – I'll note that from – and I'm sorry to go back to this, but it's too fascinating.
That's amazing.
it's not like their track record's that good with reporting. Like, what have they broken before other than
LeBron Kevin to the O'Connor's Lakers?
Like, way too soon. Oh, LeBron to LA.
I do like that Kevin O'Connor is like the designated obituary writer. Like, he, anytime it's, oh, this team needs to rebuild or this guy's gone, it's always him.
When you're the number one man, you know?
When you're the number one man.
So we should probably talk a little bit. Oh, boy.
I think like being in your company turns me into a worse person. So it's actually your guys' fault.
We get that a lot. No, it makes sense. People are going to be like, yo, these are different versions of Chase Down that we've listened to throughout the year with the, hey, it could be better. They might like it.
I'm so hyped off slander and this story that it's just got me in a good mood for days. But we should probably talk a little bit about this matchup. From your perspective, not a lot because I think there's not a lot to be said. Like,
oh, can I have one? I have a good question for Sam and Andy about this Warriors team.
Go for it.
Do you think Bob Myers did a shitty job this year?
Ooh,
no.
It occurred to me that he had a shitty year.
No. So the roster stuff, like,
that's his job, Sam.
No.
The roster stuff. He sucked putting the team together.
They have four all-stars who start at the one through the four. They also have Andre Iguodala as their fifth best player. They had more than enough wings the way the roster is constructed, and it makes all the sense in the world to have one extra big because you don't know what bigs you actually can count on. Like, there's none of their bigs are reliable, right? And I think it was just kind of, I don't know, the odds that everyone was going to get hurt at the same time and they were going to run into a team who they needed eight wings. Like, who needs eight wings on their roster, right?
I don't know, so, man. Playing the way
I guess you could. I guess you could make the case. Maybe they could have kept Omri over Damian Jones. I don't know, but Damian Jones is someone they think will probably play next year.
Well, I
think there's more obvious candidates to be cut.
Yeah,
Zaza?
I just think
you're not cutting Zaza. He's the most important bench player.
the point Look, is. They if you're going to take a couple swings at wings when you're a team that famously plays their best when they're playing small, which is important.
Right, but so much of that roster was about having big men to get through the grind so they could play small in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you only need four. They have like nine.
I think it's Steve Kerr's fault, by the way. I'm not a Bob Myers.
What we're really talking about is like the 15th man on the bench. Like, this goes back to my initial point, which is like, I refuse to let McCaw and Iguodala being hurt be an excuse for them getting into a series versus Houston.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's Stephen KD's fault and Draymond and Clay. Yeah. It's nobody else but those guys.
You guys just had Jeff Green be your second best player in a game seven, and you're really going to blame Bob Myers because he didn't have a ninth wing on the bench? Like,
I think you're giving him too much. I think you're letting him off the hook too easy because
there were more wings on this year's roster than any of the years before.
About just getting productive bench players? They don't have enough productive bench players.
I think they do. I think it's on Kerr. Like, you really don't think you can get competent minutes out of what they have on their bench? Like, oh, yes, Nick Young can't be relied on to run the motion sets the way that Andre Iguodala can because he's Nick Young. There's a bunch of coaches who could get you 15 minutes a game out of Nick Young just asking him to spot up. But Kerr wants him to be able to, you know, set down screens.
But when has Nick Young ever helped a team in his NBA career?
He won the Clippers a game in the playoffs.
I thought he was fine. I thought he was fine in this series. He should have probably played
I think they mostly signed guys who are not capable of playing in the playoffs in really, really competitive series.
I don't know. Like, I feel like
Who are they going to sign?
What is going on?
Eddie's is that another bong rip?
That's not me,
Sam.
Oh, that was me. I was washing a dish. I'm sorry.
I thought Sam was taking a piss.
What is wrong with you?
I thought that was a bong rip.
I thought that happened I think maybe 2 years ago when we had you guys on. But I've heard of like
airing that was me. That was me 2 years ago.
I have chores to do around the house.
So. I've heard of airing dirty laundry on a podcast, but not dirty dishes. We have an update on the Colangelo system or the situation. So I'm surprised that the Ringer didn't try to do this in their investigative journalism. But someone went to reset password on all of those accounts, and they all have the same like ending phone number and Colangelo's email address.
Nuh-uh.
Like how did nobody think to do that?
Oh my!
I might have to go. As soon as I get off this, I gotta go kind of clean up my burners real quick.
Oh, yo, that's amazing.
Yo, Danny Ainge just tweeted. Dan Greenberg tweeted the best part of this Ainge. Best part of this is Ainge definitely is it's Janos and everybody loves it. And Ainge did the emoji with the shush hand.
Oh my god.
Oh boy. Oh boy, here we go. Alright, so let's wrap things up with just I guess finals predictions. This is the best finals preview that we could have possibly done. Because I mean, it's chapter four, and I think that's actually some of the reasons for frustration with a lot of the writers is that they just kind of ran out of narrative, so that's why they wanted like a cute story like Boston so that they could write a story, even though that the actual material product wasn't going to be any better.
Yeah. Typical media making it about themselves.
They'd be shelled. The Celtics would have absolutely got shelled. I don't think things are going to go great for the Cavs. I hope that they can steal a game or two. But let's go with series predictions. Andy, we'll start with you.
Hold on. Let's do. You can't pick Warriors in five. I saw that on Twitter today. I like that.
You can't pick.
You cannot pick Warriors in five because I think everyone's picking Warriors in five.
Okay, Andy.
I'm picking Warriors in four.
If I had to choose, if I had to do it that way, I think the Warriors do give one away. I think Warriors in four would be the pick, which would bode well for me, by the way, because it'd end on Friday. I can celebrate on Friday night instead of a Monday night. Just going to let
that,
everybody
know. Yeah, that makes a difference for you, Andy.
Thank you.
Andy, was it you or Sam that just said that media makes it all about themselves?
Sam.
Yeah.
That was like the sentence before he was complaining about what day the series was going to end on.
Talk about making it all about yourself, by the way. You're so disinterested in this series that you're doing chores.
God, we are the worst. All right, Samuel, what do you got?
LeBron's going to average over 30 points a game. That's my pick.
I like it.
He's going to have a triple-double, too, I think. It's going to be a 30-point triple-double.
I don't know.
I think he's going to make noise. Well, if you said I can't pick five, I'm going to say six.
True.
I think it's either they're either doubling down on their complete laziness or they're engaging, and I'm going with laziness.
Fair.
Yeah, if what you guys said earlier is true, that they just genuinely don't care about who the opponent is, they're not even going to get up for LeBron, then if I'm not allowed to pick five, then why not? Yeah, let's go Warriors in six. I mean, shit, the Pelicans got two games off of them.
Except they only got one. But
oh, well, okay. don't tell me facts.
Ohio News, baby. No, I respect that. I do the same shit.
I was actually just going through the schedule and looking for how many W's there were, and then I realized I'm on the Warriors schedule, so that's why there's W's.
We'll always have the Pelicans destroying Portland.
God, that was crazy. I like that I challenged Ben Dietrich's report without having read it all the way, and then immediately it was that thing came out about that all the accounts are tied to the same phone number.
Wait, who challenged it?
I did.
Oh, you did.
I was like, are we sure about this? And then immediately, nope, I'm an idiot.
Perfect.
What a world.
Well, let's wrap it up on Carter being an idiot.
Fair.
Well, thanks.
Make All right, sure, guys, this was fun.
It was a lot of fun. So thanks to
slapdash.
Thanks to Seb. Thanks to Andy. Carter, thanks for coming on as well. I know you're normally here, but for putting up with more annoying voices than just myself. Thanks to our listeners. Make sure that you guys subscribe both to the Chase Down podcast as well as Light Years. Leave a 5-star review. Don't be a dick. Don't leave 4. Don't leave 3. Don't ignore it. Just do it. It's free. So thanks, you guys. And until next time, go Cavs.